If you've ever felt like the third wheel, this podcast is for you.
If you love Wheel of Time, this podcast is for you.
If you're bored and have nothing better to do, this podcast is for you.
Join Rob,
Megan,
and Jen
in celebrating the Wheel of Time
and its statistically best fandom
and ridiculous gaming skills
and probably a few cocktails,
and find out which one of them will be the third wheel this time.
This is Three Wheeling.
Yay! Welcome to Three Wheeling!
Yay!
Before we even talk to anyone who's listening or potentially watching, if you're a patron and you're catching us live, that's the first time, Eve, if you heard the intro that I put together.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
So I love it.
Yeah?
Great job.
Nice. Weirdly enough, we all said this is freewheeling, basically the same speed and sort of space between it. I didn't have to alter anything. I just sort of clipped those bits, lined them up, and it just worked. So
no one was the third wheel in that instance.
No one was the third wheel in that instance. So yeah.
That's amazing. Oh my God. It's great. I love it. And of course we were all on the page. Of course we were all in the same place.
Welcome to Three Wheeling, a new Wheel of Time podcast. I suppose we should introduce ourselves since it's the first time for anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, let's do that. So, my name is Rob. I run all the Malkier Talk stuff. So, Threefold Talk, MalkyrieCon, What a Holiday. I'm sure there's a few other 9 million things out there that
Snack
I'm involved
Water
in.
Snack Water Calendar.
Snack Water Calendar, yes. I do streams with Kev once a month now about season 2 KCI streams, Glory to the Stars. I'm a busy guy. So I thought, why not do a podcast with awesome folks? And those awesome folks are...
I'm Jen, in the fandom as Jen Sedai, or occasionally still Jaws21, which is my old YouTube handle. And so now I'm kind of they're intertwined. And I am a screenwriter for film and TV. And I live in Los Angeles, and I've been reading the books forever, and I am a diehard lifelong fan of the books and of the series and of Rob and Megan.
Oh,
true.
Well, that was so much nicer than my intro. Yeah, it's your turn, mate. Go on. I think you're both of us. You can just one up both of us,
That's right.
So I'm Megan, Megmaz, lurker for many years on Twitter of Time. And then probably once WattCon rolled around, I started getting a little bit more active in the fandom. Just, chatting at Dusty Wheel, showing up on Dusty Wheel and on Malkier Talks YouTube channel once in a while. I have no industry contacts, so I am just a giant nerd that loves Wheel of Time. And yeah, that's about all I got. So
Meg is our social media champion because Jen and I are, despite the fact I have conventions and content, I am terrible at social media. And,
lurker aspect of that helps. So lurker/stalker, whatever you want to call it.
Literally, I opened up the document that had our episode one sort of schedule plan-ish thing in it. And the social media update section suddenly had all these different things in there. And the titles are in bold. And I'm like, damn, I usually just put Rosamund Instagram Cape Town or something like that, and I just and there's detail and explanations, and I'm like, yes, this is why Meg does social media for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the spreadsheets, so I do.
And the spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet, yes.
Yeah,
I know there are many people in the Watt community, however, who love a good spreadsheet.
Yeah, my co-hosts on Threefold Talk are obsessed with spreadsheets, and I'm like, this is good.
Maybe
do the work for me.
Weird underlying reason for that. Maybe we should investigate that. Why do Wheel of Time fans love a good spreadsheet?
Maybe I think that's a future episode deep dive.
Definitely, yes. Uh-huh. We'll have to question.
Do some research.
Yeah. Do some research and question some of the what fan stuff. What is your favorite type of spreadsheet and why are they sexy?
Actually, I think at WattCon, Meg, you need to be a reporter on the floor.
My God, yes, let's do that. Yes.
Yes.
And for WattCon, yes.
Interview people. Can you just imagine that? Good interview for Three Wheeling. And this is amazing. I love this. Yeah. And the first question is do you love spreadsheets?
And why?
And why?
And what's your favorite formula for spreadsheets?
I do love the calculation feature of spreadsheets. We're so getting off topic right now. This is brilliant.
It's a good start.
Yeah. We should probably also tell them what the podcast is going to be about, shouldn't we?
Just yes. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
You can start, and I'll jump in if I need to.
So we're going to be like a TV show based podcast. Obviously, we're all fans of the books. We love the books, but we're also massive fans of the TV show. Jen obviously is a writer. You know, Amazon, if you're listening, I hear Jen needs a job as a writer on a TV. Like, you know, let's just put that out there, universe, right now. Let's make Jen a writer.
Thank you. The strike was tough, so I'm ready.
Yes, Meg and I can be extras, you know, and then yes. Jen can be a writer. So we'll just put that out there straight away. But yeah, we're going to be talking about the TV show. We're going to be talking about obviously the seasons as they come, what we've seen, what we're hoping to see. All those sorts of bits and pieces. We will compare them to the books. We'll probably do book discussions occasionally, you know, things like that. And we will have guests from time to time, but we're going to focus on having guests that are in the industry, so to speak. So not that the Wheel of Time fans aren't amazing. We don't want to talk to them, but like, you know, we want to be a little different, and we want to give you, you know, that sort of angle of things that, you know, to get the industry insights. Let's talk to the people who do stunts, people who do writing, people who do costuming. Like, you know, not saying we're going to get Sharon on, obviously, yet.
Dude, we're going to work that hard.
Well, we're going to get there. But you know, we're going to bring you that side of things. We want to give you a little bit more sort of behind the camera, if we can, where we can. Did I miss anything? I think that covers.
I think that covers.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And we're going to play fun games. You know, and what are we kicking every show off with, Meg? what are we doing at every show? Cocktails.
We're making a cocktail. Yes, because I can't be on a live stream or a podcast without a cocktail.
She says that she picks up a cup of coffee.
I didn't have my coffee yet, so I've got both. So
yeah, so we're gonna do what tails, and occasionally I'm gonna pronounce this what. Say that word for me, please, Jen.
Water dwarves. That's it. It's an Americanized, really, really
Americanized
French. Waters, yeah. Yeah. Occasionally, maybe I'll make a snack instead of a cocktail. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to. That's kind of what you're getting here, folks. So you should be subscribing. You should follow us on Twitter. Which is Three Wheeling, or is it just Three Wheeling? Oh, it's Three Wheeling Pod.
No, Three Wheeling Pod.
Three Wheeling Pod on Twitter,
and then it's wrong yesterday.
Three Wheeling on Instagram, because apparently Three and Wheeling are very popular matches in Twitter and Instagram. So
who'd have thunk?
So you need to follow those, and if you want to watch us record every couple of weeks, because it's going to be a bi-weekly podcast. We might get weekly eventually, but we're going to be bi-weekly to start off with, because we're in three different time zones and we'll get very busy.
I'm trying to find a time when all of us are awake.
Yeah. Meg's recovering from having, what was it, like 20 children in your house yesterday for a birthday party or something?
Yeah.
It was chaos. Yeah. So the scheduling is chaos. So we're doing every 2 weeks to start with. You know, if you want to watch us do that every 2 weeks, you just join the Patreon and then you can watch us or get early access and all those sort of fun things. But Jen, Meg, let's talk cocktails.
All right.
Meg, as our cocktail, you're literally recording in a bar right now. As our cocktail expert, do you want to go first?
I know. I wish I was a mixologist. I'm a very amateur mixologist.
You're pretty damn so... pretty good one. Let me just say that. You're pretty good one.
Yeah. From what I've seen, you're pretty, you're knocking it out of the park. So
yeah.
I do have fun. I enjoy it. Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to make it while you drink it. Not while you drink it. Make it while you explain it.
And drink it.
And then apparently it seems like I've already had a lot of it to drink, but I haven't, I swear.
And it's the earliest for Jen out of the three of us. So
It is. And there was time change last night, so I'm also I'm a little are you telling us what the cocktail is?
Yeah, but you've already done it wrong.
I know. I needed to put it in 5 days ago. So regardless, I'm gonna pour out without the I didn't say this. Did we not say that Megan and I are actual first sisters?
We did not say that.
We didn't say that. So,
I'm not a total asshole.
And
They actually like each other, folks, but they're their sisters. So, in fact, we've been doing the advertising for the pod, and that was one of the things. So we put out, Meg's, yours went out 2 days ago, and it was like, I'm the third wheel because I don't have any TV industry contacts. Mine is going out today because we're recording on Sunday, and mine is going to be like, I'm the third wheel because I'm not related to my co-hosts because they are first sisters. So, and I'm just some random guy they're like hanging out with and chatting to. So that sounds really bad like that. I need a better way to say that.
You're not a random guy.
I'm a cool guy that's friends with them and we chat.
That's it.
But yeah, so if they're mean to each other, it's a sister thing. Thanks.
Yes, exactly. It's many years of practice.
I don't know how to tell you to make this then. So anyway, the cocktail is called a cup of tea. And the reason I call it that, okay, and we're also full spoilers, right?
Yes. But probably should have led with that as well. Yeah.
Yes, we should have. Yeah.
So organized, folks.
But this is the spoiler I will always be vague about. So I'm just putting it out there that I will never say the words that this spoiler is about.
Okay, then I won't say the words either.
You can. Everybody will know what you mean. Like you said, if you know is what you put in the recipe.
This cocktail has a strong tea flavor and reminds me of that infamous scene with Varen, if you know, you know. And the brown color of the cocktail is also a representation of Varen's Aja. Okay. So there's the inspiration for the cocktail. Now for the recipe, which Jen is going to do wrong. So.
Yes.
You're supposed to, for a 750 milliliter bottle of London Dry Gin, use 4 Earl Grey tea bags, and then you let it steep for 2 days. Now, this is what's odd. I swear when I first started this recipe, it said to steep for 2 days. And then when I looked at it the other day, it said to let steep for 2 hours.
So,
I don't know.
Well, because it said 2 days last night, I got up really late and decided to go 3 tea bags in just a little mason jar's worth. So it would be.
Is it in gin or is it in gin? Oh, it is in gin. So you are doing it right. Okay.
Thank you. You're fine.
I thought you had tea that you were going to try to mix with the gin and then it was going to be all wrong. Okay. All right. So you got your Earl Grey gin then. So after it is steeped for 2 days or 2 hours, whatever you prefer. I like the 2 days. It's a very strong flavor. And if you're not sure about gin, it kind of, you know, it's not super junipery and it's, I really like it. So anyway, so then here's the ratio. So basically in a shaker with ice, you're going to pour. And so I made myself a double batch. So this is like the recipe actually really makes 2 cocktails, or if you just got a really big cup, I don't know. So this is like, so if you have a coupe glass, this will fit in a coupe glass or in a regular martini glass. So you do 1.5 ounces of Earl Grey gin, then 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice. Do I need to go slower?
No, I'm good.
Okay. And 3/4 of an ounce of simple syrup, and you shake vigorously.
Fresh homemade lavender simple syrup, because I used a lavender Earl Grey. And I used a lavender Earl Grey to make it. So
nice.
Okay.
Perfect.
So shakey, shake.
This is your ASMR moment.
That's right. Assuming I don't actually pour it all over my keyboard as I tried to do a minute ago. How's that sound?
That's not shaking vigorously.
No, this is the way I was taught to shake by a mixologist.
Needs to get his qualification back, whoever that was. There we go.
Okay. I'm going to hold that off mic, and it's really loud. Okay. Shaky shook.
Okay. Then now, still in the shaker, you can pour 1.5 ounces of tonic water.
I forgot and my shaker lid doesn't come off. Stir gently.
So that you don't stir out all the carbonation.
Can't do that because my shaker lid won't come off. So we're just going to pour this right into the glass. Here we go. And then I'll add the seltzer in here.
Oh my God. What are you drinking it out of?
My Costco cups. Okay. So here we are. I don't have any ice in it.
Well, you shouldn't. No. Okay. That's what the shaker's for.
Excellent. And I'm stirring it gently by just literally, I don't have anything to stir it with. So I'm swirling.
my folks, God. I know you can't see it unless the one person who's joined us live, whoever that is, please comment, by the way, whoever's watching us live. It must be Nils, because Nils was here earlier. You can't tell because you're listening, but I can see Meg is definitely judging Jen right now. not using the right glass, not having a stirrer, you know, all these things. So
much judgment. Dripping.
Well, I argue with my husband about this all the time. He's put red wine in a freaking like restaurant grade glass, like a, you know, tumbler.
This is,
I'm just
this
like,
is what I drink red wine out of as well.
Oh my God.
And it's delicious. It is delicious, Meg.
Oh, good.
What a cocktail.
What a cocktail.
What a cocktail. Love that. Cheers. I did not make my cocktail this week because I went with something different. I'm calling it Mother's Milk in a jar. It was going to be Mother's Milk on the rocks, but I have no rocks. So much like Jen, I don't have ice. So what it is, it's a generous serving of Bailey's. That is purely up to your own interpretation of what generous is based on your preference and the size of your vessel. And then you top it up with oat milk that is cold from the fridge, even if you have ice. And you just pour it together. You don't even have to stir it. It mixes itself as long as you put the Bailey's first. And it is absolutely delicious. It makes you like mother's milk as opposed to just thinking it's a curse, because it's just amazing.
There you go. So,
yeah.
There you go.
That is my cocktail. And that's the difference between Meg and I. Like, Meg's got this big, complicated recipe, and I'm like, pour as much as you like in the glass.
And yet, who is the chef and the culinary expert?
Oh, with food, we'll have a different conversation. Yes.
Cheers.
As I'm also drinking an oat milk latte that I was going to put Bailey's in and realized I was out of Bailey's. Because I would have had both of your drinks.
Yes.
With a shot of espresso.
With a shot of espresso. To be honest, I'm a little sleepy. I almost put espresso in it as well.
Oh, no.
All right. We're going to kick it off with social media updates each time as well, folks. So maybe not everything if it's been a busy couple of weeks, but the things that we want to talk about. So I'm going to pass the baton, so to speak, to our social media champion, our social media executive. I don't know. What are we going for? What should we say, Jen?
Social media. Oh, I have bad words in my mind. I'm not going to use them. sorry. Social.
No, now media. I want to hear it.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to call you the social media. It's what it was. It felt fitting, but I maybe we'll find something better than that.
Okay. Well, clearly the gin's gotten to you already. Lightweight.
Our social media sorceress for the moment. Go for it, Meg.
There we go.
I like that. Missing. Yeah. Okay, and then we can also like bring this into discussion and speculation as much as we want or whatever. So Rosamund Pike, she was traveling from Cape Town to London this week for the BAFTA Film Awards. And then it looked like she was headed back to Cape Town to finish filming season 3. Again, I wouldn't say with any sort of 100% guarantee, but that's just what it seemed like to me.
I totally missed this. I didn't realize that she was in for the BAFTAs.
She's so every single post for every awards show. I'm just like, I can't. She's just so gorgeous and classy. And I just like,
Oh, wait, is this she posed in the outfit, wasn't it?
Yes. Where it was flowy and like blue.
Yeah.
And then she had this like amazing music in the background. And I'm just like, I want your life.
She does have very good postings.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally missed. I wonder if she, no, she won't be. I was going to say, I wonder if she's going to the Olivier's, but she won't. So that would be very
good. Is that
cool.
A restaurant that's, or something?
No, the Olivier's are, the Olivier's are to stage what the Oscars are to film.
They're like the Tonys in here.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't think of that at the time. So yeah.
They're a non-industry person not knowing what you're talking about. So I am the everyday man listening to our podcast and asking the good questions. Okay. So that's Rosamund. I don't think there's much speculation there.
No.
Sarah Nakamura also seemed to be filming in Cape Town. She was showing a video of dumping out tons of sand from her boots. And then she also tried to stir up Twitter of time this week. So she said, some of the direction I heard being shouted over elements and from afar today was not on my season 3 bingo card. It was a fantastic day and I continually had to pinch myself. One I've been waiting to witness since I read it. I'll leave it to Twitter of time to decide from what source. So I have no idea what that means.
I do.
You do?
I do. I have a theory because she hashtagged that. She's wearing all blue in that one, right? Mm-hmm. She's wearing all of her blue and she says... Oh,
no, that's not that one.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think so.
I think
okay,
it
well,
is.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay, fine. Anyway, I think she hashtagged it Rebel. Somewhere in there, something, one of the posts she made this week, she hashtagged Rebel.
Well, now I
need it. Maybe it was about a Rebel discussion going on.
I think you're right, Meg. That might not have been the same post, but I think that to me has, I have been convinced that means that there's Saladar. Yeah. Yes.
I definitely think she is Aes Sedai'd us with that tweet that you've read out, because it sounds like, you know, the moment she didn't expect to see and such was the unexpected overheard direction or whatever.
Right.
And when you actually read the tweet, I think she's like totally played us with that one and what it actually is. So as you say,
it's like, it was the direction that's weird, not the scene. Right.
Yeah. And it's like the scene, and everyone's posting about like, oh, is it this scene? Is it that scene? You know, and they're trying to think of weird scenes you wouldn't expect to see in season 3.
Oh no. Yeah.
And I think people have missed that. It's actually, it's weird direction. And she's seeing a scene that we would expect to see in season 3. That
well,
she's
and it does say, it says, yeah. like she said, it's a scene that she's been waiting to witness since I read it. And then in terms of when she read it, what she was meaning from what source, was it a book? Was it a script? Was it a pitch? Was it the series Bible? So I think the scene was expected, but direction was unexpected.
I saw a lot of people posting about it with like weird things. Like, oh, is it this from like book 6 or something like that? Have we jumped ahead to all sorts of things? And I was like, I think people have misread this.
I think the direction was Loghain, cry harder.
I don't know. Seeing Alvaro Morte work, I don't think he has any problems crying very hard.
This is true.
But now I'm looking for this like blue comment and the rebel thing.
Well, and yeah, because then Jay said something about Saladara, and then Sarah responded with the, I don't know what you call that, the eyeball side. The
eyeballs looking
emoji.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot. She actually commented on what I said, which was with that, because I said something like, what you said sounds like something my friend Saladara would write. Mm-hmm. They're going to Saladara.
Yeah. And I do like the hashtag ride Sally ride.
Yes. I love that. I love that. It's funny because in the books, I always feel like it takes forever to get to Saladara. Like it takes forever for Nynaeve and Elaine to figure it out. Mm-hmm. It feels like forever. And I'm like, please just get us there. Just get us there.
Well, I think they have to because, you know, 14 books into 8 seasons, hopefully. So
No circus.
Stop. I will fight you to the death on that. I want the circus.
Why? No, no. Why do you want the circus? I'm curious.
It's so fun. Stupid. And I love Valen. I mean, I hate Valen Luca, but I love Valen Luca. Like he is just fun. Like, I just feel like that would be a nice breath of fresh air.
You just want Hugh Jackman.
No, I want Ryan Reynolds as Val and Luca.
Ryan Reynolds as Val and Luca. No, actually, I don't know.
I like it.
So good.
No. He would distract too much. He'd be great, but I think we don't need Val and Luca to have Deadpool's sense of humor. And Ryan Reynolds slips that into, he's great, but he slips that into all of his roles.
Yes. You
know? And I love it.
He's a great human being. He's a very good actor, but he's almost typecast himself. Not as bad as people like Jim Carrey or something like that, who is like always do one insane thing and it's the same person every time. But his humor is always the same, even when he's playing like a serious character or something. And I just don't think that would fit Val and Luca. Not that he couldn't do it great, but and Nils has just put in chat, Val and Luca will be riots.
Sorry, Nils.
Agree.
Well, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on the circus. We'll see how it fits with the story. But I think going back to Saladara and that discussion, I think the way that things ended with Swan is kind of perfect for her getting ousted and, you know, all the
getting ousted
stuff
early in the season.
Yeah, getting like ousted like first or second episode easily. And then by the end of the season, we've got Saladara set up and, you know, something is in the works there.
Yep.
Is the whole hall in Kyrian?
Well, that's what I was going to say. She's in Kyrian, right, where she can just pick up Loghain and go.
Yeah.
But they couldn't really like depose her in Kyrian, could they? You can't, the whole hall would have to be present. Yeah, or two-thirds or whatever it is.
You can't gentle someone either. And they, you know.
I mean, maybe Shuri just turns up and goes, not out. And then, you know, there's like a fight or something. Who knows? Because maybe they think that she's allied, allied herself with Lanthir. Moraine and Lanthir.
Yeah.
Because Moraine's a dark friend. You were doing this and, you know, so on and so forth. Yep. Could be a whole kettle of really stinky fish.
I like refer. That's a very swan kind of a.
Yeah, I was trying to get some sort of fish metaphor in there. And I was like, a whole kettle of fish guts is what I should have said. There we go.
You can edit it and put that over. So
yeah, I can. Yeah. So, but it, I mean, it, like you say, Loghain's there in Kyrian. So if it all went sideways in Kyrian, she could run off straight away.
Yeah.
There's no Min. But right. Lyanna is there.
Yeah, but honestly, I don't think we need Min for that storyline, really.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, because I mean, Min's whole purpose was to like help them sneak out of the tower. And if they're not in the tower, then they don't.
Yeah. Oh, you know what this does mean, though?
What?
No, Mistress Laris.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that leaves Laris out.
Justice for Laris.
You're okay with that. I am okay with that.
Right, fair enough. I think there's a lot of speculation we can get from this.
It is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Sarah has fun with what she posts, I'm sure.
I know. I love it. She knows how to fuel us and fuel the discussion, for sure.
She does. Yes. And the Dr. Pepper thing was just very funny as well.
Oh, my God. That was so sweet.
Did somebody send her Dr. Pepper? Because I know she can't get it there.
No, she goes to... So she's been going, like, I think the post
like
where she's been
to... convenience store?
Yeah, it's one. I've got Twitter up, so half a second, I'll find it.
It seems like an American import convenience store type of
thing. Okay, so here we go. Guys, things have gone too far, or maybe just far enough. My reputation and love for Dr. Pepper has gone international. For 3 Sundays straight, I'd visit, and then she's tagged Candylicious South Africa, which I assume is a chain of stores, for my US bottled Dr. Pepper. When I showed up on this day, the wonderful team that had anticipated me and brought in cases for me so that I'd have enough to last me for a few days. The level of customer care truly touched my heart. And hysterically, I was told the home office guys wanted to know who was buying all the Dr. Pepper. So the team asked for a photo. It so happened I was wearing a Dr. Pepper crew took by chance. My love and dedication to the best beverage on the planet. She does have quite an addiction to Dr. Pepper, doesn't she?
She needs to be their spokesperson for real. Like, I've never met anyone who loves a beverage like she loves that beverage.
I feel like we need to slip a Dr. Pepper bottle onto the set to be the Starbucks version, you know, the Game of Thrones Starbucks cup.
Oh, yeah.
I think we need a Dr. Pepper bottle showing up somewhere.
In the Panarch's Palace. Yeah, in the Panarch's Palace.
They could like make the label slightly faded and bend the bottle around. It could be like a wheel up.
Yes. And then he walks by, or wait, Elaine walks by and she's like, it feels like bubbly happiness.
I think Sarah spent years trying to get to where she is with the what stuff, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think Sarah is already not wanting to end the Wheel of Time train that she's on, obviously, but is like building a plan for the future. And when she finishes with Wheel of Time and is no longer needed as the show expert or the book expert for the show, then she becomes a spokesperson for Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. It's a long game.
She plays the long game. So,
and free Dr. Pepper for life.
Yes. What else did we have, Meg?
So Donald Finn is doing Hadestown right now. And then he had a bunch of visitors, I would imagine for opening night. I'm not sure. But he had Juliet Howland, Hamad, Zoe, and Marcus all came to see Donald. So my question is, so Juliet should be filming because she plays Natty Coffin. So I'd imagine she would be in season 4 filming in the Two Rivers. Marcus would also be in the Two Rivers. So my question is, are we done filming for the Two Rivers?
Here's the interesting thing. So they didn't go on opening night only because Sulian works in the stage industry, and we went on the Monday
and you to didn't see get Hadestown. To see them.
We didn't sit Donal, which is rare because that's classes previews, and basically you have to be on death's door to not turn up to previews. It's like a contractual thing. It's the time one time when stage actors are like 100% guaranteed to be there, because it's, you know, it's in effect it's rehearsals until it goes live. They went like the week after Juliet and that, because Juliet actually told me. She's like, I told Dodo you guys were going back in May, so. And I was like, looked like you had a great time. She's like, oh, last night was so wonderful. So yeah, she did. You know, that's how I know it wasn't opening night. But some other people went the week after us, before Juliet went, and they actually got to meet Donal.
Yeah.
Which is great for them. And he told them he had been in South Africa filming.
Oh, which is why he wasn't at previews.
Which is why he wasn't at previews, which also means Amazon must have paid a pretty penny to get him, because you have to be there.
Because that's an equity. Basically. That's a union thing. Like,
right, so there must have been something to go with that. But yeah, he's, so I think he's wrapped up so that he can carry on doing Hadestown would be my thought process there.
Mm-hmm.
But The Two Rivers is being filmed in Prague. So like,
so was he in, well, we know South Africa is a few different things, but I'm like, was he in Saladar?
I don't think Matt, so Marcus would have been in Prague if he was filming, which is obviously, you know, it's not that far to get back and forth from, from the UK.
Zoe
should be there
in Cape Town, because don't we think Tanchico's in Cape Town as well as any Viridian or whatever?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, maybe they're on a break,
or maybe the Tanchico's done and they're just finishing up any Isle Waste stuff at this point.
Or they just came up for
Cape Town's quite a hike.
Yeah, it's very far.
Yeah, Cape Town is the bottom of the African continent, basically.
Right. Bottom of the world.
I mean, the only way you can go much further north than coming up to London to see a play is to go visit Nils, who lives basically within the Arctic Circle of North. like, he's just gotten daylight back, sort of north. I love Nils, bless him. But yeah, he's so far north. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, there's a long way to go to come for a play. So they've got to be on some form of break. They would have, I would say, like you said, finished filming their part. And it's just the IEL stuff, maybe. Yeah.
Which then takes me to my next one, because it does seem Daniel Henney is still down there. Because, so his Instagram post, he looked sleepy in a car with the caption, "Is 4 a.m. ever normal? Early mornings on the wheel." So he's still filming, I would assume.
Yeah. Is he filming in the Waste, do you think? Did they run off to the Waste, or?
I would imagine. I mean, they do in the books. I would think so. But, and I think Moraine has to go there so that she goes through the rings in Ruidian to lead us to her potential demise.
Right.
Like because she has to see that she has to be on the wagons to save Rand from Lanfear.
Are we getting that scene? Is that you think we're going to get the whole through the gate, through the doorway thing?
Yes.
We'll definitely get whether it's I think it'll be through the red gate in some form. And
I don't know if necessarily Moraine will go, but I think we have to get that scene. I want to see Hadnan Kadir's skin like held in Lanfear's hand and her screaming, "Who the fuck is Avienda?" I want that scene so bad.
I don't think she says "who the fuck is Avienda." I'm just
We can add it.
Yeah,
we can add it.
We can. She did say "bitch" when she woke up after Moraine slicing her throat. So I think we can throw this in.
And I think we've really set up that scene. I mean, I think they did a really lovely job of foreshadowing it, because in some ways, in the books, like, we never see them really. We don't see much Lanfear Moraine. There's no direct contact, really. So, we've done a really nice job of making that scene pay off and having an investment in these two women, you know, getting angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, can you see the two of them having like a fight, basically? Like, not necessarily with the power, but.
A scrappy one. Yeah.
Almost like a little scrappy, like, you know.
Yeah.
Because they're not equal in the power, but. You know, Moraine is going to turn up with sneaky little tricks, I imagine.
I think Lanfear's going to have to best her again. I think Lanfear's going to have to do something even worse to her. I think Maureen's going to be pissed about what she did with Swan, and I think that she threw them, you know, throwing them out of the way is one thing. Mm-hmm. But Maureen's still already up here because of the bed scene and the slicing of the throat. Like Maureen still has, like, Lanfear hasn't really gotten hers back yet, I don't think. No. She's going to have to get it back hard to make the Maureen payoff of pushing her through. Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay.
Theory.
I'm trying to think now. I'm just getting visions of Lanfear slicing Maureen in half, and I'm like, no, because there's no way back from that in the Wheel of Time sort of setup. So,
no,
yeah, she's gonna look dead, but not be dead, or at least not. Yeah. We think she's not dead type thing. So,
oh my god,
what?
Tell us, right? I could just see it all over your face. What is it?
Well, I mean. Okay, so the metaphysics of going through the doorway is what stills you kind of thing. And then they siphon off some of the One Power through the doorway. But it's something we hear in retrospect. It's something we hear after the fact. What if she stills her before they go through the doors?
What if Lanfear stills Maureen?
Yes.
She's never stilled though. And I mean, whatever, they can change it. But like in the book, she's not stilled. They just siphon off enough of her power that she's super weak.
Yeah, that's the eel thing and the elfin, isn't it?
Yeah, she doesn't get revealed.
I think that's the same thing with Lanfear too, because when she comes back as Syndane, she's weaker.
Yeah.
But Morden comes and kills her before they siphon off as much as they did on Maureen.
Right. Yeah. I feel like we spent a lot of time with Lan trying to prove that one Forsaken can't cut you off. It's only a circle of 13 or 12 or whatever that can do that. I think we spent a lot of time during season two with that discussion. That to change it, that Lanfear steals Maureen by herself would not. I don't know.
No, that's a really good point, because I think that may be a metaphysical change, just so that it's not like, because then it becomes the ultimate weapon. It becomes the Avada Kedavra of the Wheel of Time. It's just like, I steal you.
You know,
people run around just to do that. So okay. I'm on board. That my theory was wrong. I am. Throwing it out. If I could, let me do some ASMR crumpling up of paper. I don't even have good paper here. I can't do it.
Sorry. Let me crumple some. I probably got something I can crumple. Please. Here we go. The idea. There we go. I even tossed it on screen to you people. So if Nils was looking away from his cooking, he could.
He missed it. He could see
that. Never mind. Yeah. Well, I don't know, folks. If you're listening, tell us what you think would be a good way to make her seem dead but not dead, or any combination thereof. But it does leave a lot to speculate on, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So last thing from social media was Ayula Smart posted a picture of Natasha on her Instagram holding a yoga mat. So are they going off and doing yoga when they're not on set? So are they like besties and hanging out? And like, so then that would mean that Natasha is also in the waste. And what does that mean?
Does that mean that when Lanfear says, who the fuck is Avienda, she's lying? Because... they're yoga buddies.
It's almost like they're in cahoots together and they pretend to be different sides, but then like when no one's looking, they're like, shall we go do some yoga? It's been a stressful day.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. But I think they are buddies, like real life. I think Natasha are just like besties.
Yeah.
Which is great to see.
Yeah.
I
added one social media thing yesterday, but in the wrong place, Meg. I didn't put it in your... See, spreadsheets, I love them, but they don't always work for me. Shora was in London, I think, right? Yesterday, she was posting her jumping onto a double-decker bus.
Well, am I not following her? I need to fix that.
So I saw this in someone else's server, and then I felt... I'm glad I didn't post it publicly, because I definitely would have felt like a creeper. But there's like a code on the bus. The buses in London, all buses have codes and things like that. In fact, weird side note, the number bus will have, so say it's like the 49 or something like that, on the top of the bus in a huge, massive number, like writing, they will do giant numbers of the numbered bus.
Drone.
So, that's not where I was going with it.
Wow,
that's
case of like, if
the authorities had to track a bus for a certain reason, they could see it from the air. But yes, I suppose you could use a drone and So I took the bus code that was on the side just above the door and I Googled it, and it is registered to a company that does buses in London. But I couldn't figure out which bus route, so I couldn't tell you where in London she was, but I definitely felt stalkery when I did that.
I just thought you were going to say, I didn't want to post on social media because she walked past me.
I mean, I think I definitely would have, you'd have to like break my phone for me not to post that on social media. I was like, I was, oh God. When I went to Prague, it was killing me not to post things about being there. So yeah, I definitely would have posted that had she walked past me. And I'm not in London. I'm much further north in Manchester. So, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know why she was, again, why is she in London? She's not filming currently then.
Well, I can't imagine she would be doing too much filming in season 3. I think they'd like establish her in Camlin from what we've heard, right? Because she was in the room with all the Andor banners or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she would probably have to be somewhat involved in Suwan's deposing. And then that would probably, and her getting raised potentially, but that might even happen off camera. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, her getting raised happens off book.
Right.
It does. So it could happen very late in the season. They're just not there to film that bit yet, I suppose.
Yeah.
So maybe she's not been called, or they did it sneakily.
Or they might have done it like, they might have just shot all of her stuff, you know, in one go. And it was, you know, if she's at the end of the season, they could still film it earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. I mean, because they did some of that before the strikes came around.
Right.
They ran off like, so they did, was it Rosamund Daniel and Zoe, who are all SAG members? They knew the strike was coming, and so they just intensively did all of their scenes.
Yeah.
And then after that, during the strike, they could record with others who were obviously different unions and still contractually obliged to complete their contracts. So they could have done that and just been like, hey, let's just do your scenes and get it done.
Right.
No one's stalked her very effectively to notice that she went off somewhere and filmed. So a lot of traveling, a lot of people posting things, mostly on Instagram, I think.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't see much on Twitter when I try to stalk people. It seems like Instagram, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not stalk, follow. Follow.
We're already into March. JordanCon is next month, right?
Mm-hmm.
April? Mm-hmm. End of April.
JordanCon's in like 6 weeks or something.
Yeah. And then WattCon and then MelchiorCon and Comic-Con in the middle there. And I'm just wondering when, as far as I know, I mean, it's possible that Amazon has not greenlit a fourth season yet, but I wonder if they're going to save that announcement for one of those venues.
Do you think it's really something that necessarily they'd want to release at, like, wait to talk about until then? Like, I don't think that's a huge.
Yeah, no, it.
I mean, because that's more like for trying to drum up publicity and whatever. And I don't think like,
well, they announced season 4
greenlight.
They announced season 3 at San Diego.
Yeah,
they did.
I mean, but they might have literally just had it greenlit, though. I don't know if that's something you'd hold in your back pocket.
Well, the Twitter chaos was doing those clues for a few weeks, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Kev Angus was sleuthing for that one.
Yes, I was on board.
He's such a sleuth.
Number crunching.
He's so, seriously, if he doesn't work for like NSA or something, he is wasted. He's a wasted talent. That guy's, he is so clever.
Yes.
Yeah.
What does he do?
I have no idea.
He does something with math. I don't know if he's an actuarial guy or something or what, but
he does do something with numbers.
Really right. Yeah.
Yeah. He does do something with numbers. But the dude is like, every time he has a theory, I'm just like, I'm on board. Like, you don't even have to sell it to me, Kev. I'm in with you. Like,
I believe you.
Yeah, I believe you.
That's why we all think he's the Tweeter of Chaos, except you, who actually knows who the Tweeter of Chaos is. But
I'm not the only person who knows who the Tweeter of Chaos is. So I'm pretty sure the Twitter of Chaos knows who they are as well. So, you know, that's, there's two of us.
Of course, all right. Yes.
I mean, that's really committing if you don't.
It kind of puts you in a precarious position, Rob. If you're the only other person who knows, then, and it needs to be kept quiet, like, I worry for you.
Oh.
I worry for your safety.
I am quite safe. There are multiple.
Look out for the drones.
Look out for the drones. I'm not on a bus. We're okay. Oh. Well, thank you for the social media update there, Meg.
I can't believe that took so long.
Because we were speculating.
Yes. Why
would it? No, I know. I like it, but I was just surprised. I was like, dang, we're already 50 minutes in.
I go off.
Yeah. Well, like, we did spend some time, like, the cocktails were quite entertaining. And obviously we had to explain what we're doing, you know.
Yes.
It's fine. But yeah, that was, you know, I love that estimated time, 10 minutes.
Nope.
See, spreadsheets are good, but you got to be willing to go to improvise. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And I think this is a very good example of what the three of us are going to be like doing this podcast together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be, there's going to be a little bit of chaos in there, folks.
I think it's definitely going to just depend on the day.
Depend on the day, depend how late it is. Because I'm sure at some point there'll be recordings where it's like 2 a.m, 3 a.m. I'm like, I'm getting drunk.
So, you know. Yes. Oh, no, we still have to do our drinking game, and I'm almost done with my second one.
That is a drink. It is a drink game. Thank God I made enough mother's milk. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble as well. All right, let's do the drinking game, because we are just going to have a fun one. We do have like serious discussions and things to do at some point, but we thought, screw it, let's have some fun for the first one. And we are going to play something I'm surprised that people don't do. When we came up with, Meg, did you come up with this? You suggested this, wasn't it?
Yes, will take ownership of this, yes.
When you suggested this, also, I love the fact that I asked my patrons for ideas for this, and they came up with, like, the most Wheel of Time things possible. Yeah. And then I went to Meg's spreadsheet, and I was like, this is so much more scandalous than I thought it was going to be, and I love it.
I don't know how else to play this game without thinking that way. I don't.
No, I approve. I just love the difference between when I asked my patrons for things and when you were putting in things. I was like, there's a big difference here, and I love it. We are playing Never Have I Ever, aren't we?
Meg, from the perspective of Wheel of Time characters, though, yes, not ourselves. I don't want to share that much.
No. that is the £100 a month patron. Right. There we go. That does not exist.
Correct.
So we're gonna play Never Have I Ever from a character's perspective. Let's talk about who's who.
And also, we have to decide whether it's book character or show character. And if it's, well, I think to some degree, don't we?
I feel like it has to be.
Or maybe not. It can be both. Whatever. Both. You can decide.
I mean, I don't know. If it was like, never have I ever had sex in the Winespring Inn kitchen, you know, then Book Rand is probably going to not drink.
Right. Right. But Show Rand would.
But Show Rand has to, you know, knock back a shot. So,
yeah.
I suppose it could probably make a difference. Yeah. Because they are older than that.
Yeah, maybe. I think we can even be judicial about it. We can just be like, this is more fun if I play it from this.
And just clarify.
Answer this question this way. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So obviously, we
go ahead.
I was going to say, we are going to drink, but we will be like, I should drink there and then drink. So you can, those of you only listening will know that we've had the drink.
And if we drink incorrectly, or if we don't answer correctly, if we think we're answering correctly from the point of view of the character, but we're wrong. A,
you tell us.
The other two people here can get us, but B, like, yeah, let us know. And then we'll have to tack that on to the following week.
Yeah, because sometimes we're just
going to drink shots if you screw up.
God, this is getting dangerous real quick.
Just came out of the top of my head.
That just came to, I'm sure it did. Okay, shall we just play it from the ones you put in, or shall we? Because I didn't build a randomized wheel type thing, which we will have at some point. Shall we use your list or the list that the patrons gave us, or like just pick ones randomly
I would say pick ones randomly, because like depending on who you are, there's some of those that you can't say you've never done. That's the whole thing. Like
fair, yeah. Okay. And also,
So I braided my hair because I'm playing as Nynaeve.
No, wait. I thought said we were starting with the three Ta'veren.
Maybe we did.
Are we? Did we say that?
I thought that's what we had discussed. So sure, Rob's gonna be Taryn,
of course,
and then Jay. I'll let you.
No, you
pick.
Be
Matt. No, I don't care.
Okay. This is how bad I am at this game. Remind me. You drink if you've done it.
No, you. Yeah. Yes. You drink if you've done it. Yes.
So you want to be Matt?
Yeah.
Because I want to get drunk.
All right. I'll be Rand.
Fine. Okay. I'll be Matt.
All right.
It's fitting. Matt, you are very Matt. Altruistic, so, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Matt, do you want to go first?
Well, I don't think I can say anything.
I don't know.
Let's see. Okay, I can. Well, hang on, because some of these are very Elaine oriented. It's really hard to start as Matt. Somebody else start. Okay, no, so I got one.
It's super easy. Okay. It's actually like a pain,
right?
All right.
I have never made myself a sandwich.
I figured you'd pick that one as Matt.
Right. Okay. I mean,
Are you guys drinking?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Perrin would drink. He definitely would have made himself a sandwich.
Rand has definitely made himself a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt would never make himself a sandwich.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Easy. Okay. Seriously, my patrons just gave me like Aiel ones and then Abby and then Nynaeve ones. So like, and they're much later season ones. All right, I might have to pick from Megs. Do you want to go next, Jen, or should I?
Sure. I'll go next. Never have I ever hit on my stepdad.
I'm pretty sure none of us have done that.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure none of us.
All right. I don't know, Perrin. I don't know. How does he feel about Lord Bashir?
Well, do you know what? Actually, that's a fair point.
It wouldn't be stepdad. That would be.
Oh, that would be father-in-law.
Father-in-law. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. Seeing as I can't find the other list, because I can't find my.
I posted as a picture in our chat. You have to.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. Great. Awesome.
All right. So as Perrin, I'm going to say, never have I ever walked in on my parents doing the dirty.
All right.
I'm pretty sure Matt hasn't, since his parents hate each other. So I'm going to say.
Are you being sure?
No. Shomat lives in a room with his parents.
Okay,
they share a room.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're drunk all the time.
Yeah.
So Matt is drinking. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Moran doesn't even know his mom, so we're good.
Yep.
Yeah. Like both his mothers died before he was old enough to know them. So yeah, that's fair.
Exactly.
Daddy's a bachelor. All right.
Okay. So it's my turn again, right?
Yes.
Okay. Never have I ever. Fuck, this is really hard. Matt does everything. Never have I ever. I'm just going to have to drink. I'm just going to drink. So never have I ever actually been in a threesome, which I would assume that Matt. Well, you know what? Matt has not, to our knowledge. So I'm going to say no. Never have I ever been in a threesome.
I mean, book drink Matt up. Definitely not. I think book Matt would at some point.
I just reread Rafe's pilot. Show Matt definitely has. I was like, I forgot how racy his pilot was. I was like,
wait, Rafe wrote a pilot?
Well, Rafe wrote the original pilot in 2018 that then got rewritten and massaged and changed before they shot. Yeah. And it's like,
I did not know this existed.
It is very sex forward.
Nice.
Like, you know, I mean, it's not HBO quite, but he was clearly leaning for.
He's like, look, it worked for Game of Thrones. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Perrin is definitely not drinking to that one.
All right.
No.
Okay. Never have I ever defeated two warders in training with a.
Now I feel like
staff.
You're ganging up on
what?
Me.
No.
All right. Matt is drinking.
Nice. And Perrin is going to say, never have I ever been obsessed with the roll of a dice.
What the f***?
I didn't think about
that. Clearly Matt is drinking.
There. Yes.
All right, Matt, do you have another one?
No.
No?
Wait, no. Okay. Never have I ever... slept with a Forsaken.
Show Matt. Show Rand will be drinking.
Right. I feel for like sure. Perrin would have at some point eventually had Fael not come along.
What?
I don't know. I feel like he just would have had to make a deal with someone at some point. He's that type of person.
Interesting.
So. And plus Lanfear was like, if I can't have Rand.
Yeah, she was like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. True.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe those things.
We'll have to get Master of the Dex opinion on this and see if she's wrote any fanfic for that. So.
Oh, I'm sure she probably has.
Wait, is that up to me then for the next Never Have I Ever?
Yes.
All right. Never Have I Ever. Oh, now they all do that. Never mind. I was going to say, fought my destiny. But yeah, we would all just be drinking.
Well, let's just say it. And let's all drink. There we go. Yeah,
we're all drinking to that one.
That's a good, right. That's really good tea, Meg. Yeah.
It does sound like good tea.
All right. Maybe we'll wrap it up. We'll just like do like three rounds since it's three wheeling.
Sure.
Maybe that should be how we do it every time. We do three rounds.
I like it. Yeah.
Perfect. Nice. We definitely thought about this in advance. Okay. We're going to round it out with Never Have I Ever Insulted a Blacksmith.
Oh yeah, I have to drink.
Matt probably has. I don't know. Matt for sure has.
I mean, Perrin is a blacksmith, and I'm pretty sure Rand and Matt have both been insulting to him at some point.
Exactly. So, yes. Yeah. 100%.
Nice. All right. So that's a fun game. I'm gonna have to add like some music behind that or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Love that. All right. That is freewheeling.
Yeah. Are we going to do What a Positivity?
Yes. We're going to round it off with What a Positivity.
There was a final thing before that, wasn't there?
Wait, what was the final? I don't know.
Each and every week, we are going to decide who was the third wheel this week.
Yeah.
So was there any obvious ones?
No. Well, okay, we could do our shirts. We talked about our shirts.
This is true. So you can't see it, folks, but Jen and Meg are both wearing shirts from, I want to say from Weekly Wheel News, but it's New Creations by Jen.
New Creations by Jen, yeah.
I always want to say Weekly Wheel News, and it's not because it's Rob's wife, Jen. They're both wearing t-shirts. So we have, is it a Loyals t-shirt and what are you wearing, Jen?
Fork or tea.
Which is perfect.
Because we're doing the tea.
Of course. Yes.
And I am not. I am just in a light weaver hoodie.
Nice though. Nice.
It's very nice. It's like an oversized one, and it's very baggy, so it's one of those nice things. So apparently, I'm the third wheel this week because I am not wearing a New Creations by Jen Wheel of Time t-shirt.
That's right. It's true. Rob is the third wheel this week, but in the spirit of our amazingly inclusive community of Wheel of Time lovers, being a third wheel isn't necessarily a bad thing because there's always somewhere that you can fit in. So we want to end every episode by talking about like something uplifting, leaving you in a good space. And so for the first one, I thought it would be fun to just say, it's not a very specific example, but I think that I could probably safely say that most of the people in this community have at some point in their lives felt like a third wheel or felt like the outsider or felt like they didn't quite fit in. And the stories of people finding the place that they fit in this community are too numerous to recount on the end of this podcast, because we would be talking for another 17 hours, I think, because so many people say, I feel like I finally found my people. And I think it's a good message to remember that there is a place, and it isn't necessarily just one place. I think it's too easy to always feel like the third wheel because I don't know. I mean, I'm in the industry and I feel like a poser every single day. Like I don't necessarily have a place at the table because how could some kid from the Midwest turn out to be a screenwriter in Hollywood? And I think that it's so easy to feel that way. And I want to just encourage everybody to ask to join the group, because if you don't ask, you'll be standing outside and convincing yourself that you are a third wheel. But I think if you just open the door and say, hey, and you walk through it and you walk up to people or you chat for the first time on a live stream or, you know, joining the chat, I think is such a great way to get into this community, you know, posting something silly on Twitter and suddenly people start poking at it. I mean, I still, you know, every time I put something on Twitter, I'm like, oh, two people liked it. Okay. You know, that's great. But I'll take my two as my way in. And so I think that it is the most inclusive fandom. It's a great place to learn how to not be your third wheel or not feel like an outsider. And then apply that to other places in your life, too, because I think there are more accepting people than non-accepting people out there. And in the spirit of inclusivity, be a third wheel and find your group. Yeah.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Cheers to that.
Yes, absolutely. Cheers to that. Perrin and Rob are drinking to that.
And I'm empty, so.
Clearly three rounds of never ever was a good idea.
Yes.
I'm going to have to remember if we make like small cocktails that I'm going to need like a second drink for the
game.
That's
why I had my double. I had it in my shaker and I just poured it, so.
Nice. Good thinking. Good thinking. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed listening to us. Like I say, if you want to watch us record live every couple of weeks, you can go and join the Patreon. It's a link in the description. That's at the bottom tier. You don't even have to spend a fortune to come enjoy our wonderful faces and hilarity as we get a little silly on camera playing games and talking about social media and such. Please follow the Twitter, which we will use as long as Twitter exists. Follow the Instagram, which seems to be a little more secure these days.
Yes.
And, just come and hang out and, you know, be a third wheel with all of us. Because as Jen has just pointed out, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be. So, and I think that's it. Woo-hoo! First episode in the bag. So
yay.
Yay. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
2 weeks.
Once again, we've proven that even when you're the third wheel,
you can always find a place to fit in.
Join us next time
on Three Wheeling.
On Three Wheeling.
On Free Wheeling.